From Cortland, New York, America's smallest small city, it's the Nerd Bomber Podcast, featuring the best news, entertainment, and related discussion that pop culture has to offer. And now, your hosts and experts in anti-social media, Just Jamie and your friend Claude! Ladies, gentlemen, millennials, welcome to the Nerd Bomber Podcast. I'm your friend Claude, and today I get to speak with a Renaissance woman named Rose Fox, who, although she has many talents, for the purposes of this conversation, we'll be focusing in on her artistic abilities. Rose, welcome to the show. Would you mind expanding on your background and what you do a little better than I just did?
Hi, everybody. This is Rose Fox. I am a amateur slash turned professional artist located in upstate New York. Typically, I really like to focus on either cartoons or comic books, things like that, but I'm probably most well known for my work doing hyperrealism things and commissions, things of that sort of nature.
Awesome. What got you into drawing and art? Can you talk about your inspirations?
You know, I honestly don't know if I know exactly what got me into it to start. You know, aside from two-dimensional art, let's call it, for drawings, I've always been very involved in any sort of visual arts or aesthetics. You know, I was a dancer. I was actually a professional ballerina for a while growing up, and I've always been drawing. And I know that my grandfather is the only one in my family who had any sort of art abilities. And I remember him teaching me a lot as I was a kid growing up, but I don't know if there's any one specific thing that ever pushed me into art. It was just kind of always inherent in my nature.
That's really cool. Yeah. Sometimes it's more fun if there's a kind of a melting pot that leads us to doing what we do. How long would you say you've been creating art?
Well, if we're not going to count my super awful stick figures, then I would say professionally, I think I started getting commissions when I was about 14. So about a decade and a half now.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, of course, growing up before that, I was always, you know, sequestered in my room growing up, making my own comic books, things like that. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's how you get good. Part of those 10,000 hours, right?
Something like that.
What would you say your favorite thing is to draw?
You know, that's such a tough one, and that's something that I've been asked actually pretty frequently lately. And I don't think there's any one specific, like, I don't want to say, oh, I love drawing people, or I love drawing animals, or I love drawing flowers. There's not one specific thing, but I am very, it seems, attracted to drawing things that are powerful and aesthetically beautiful. And not just powerful as in, like, I mean, I draw a lot of fantasy things. Anyone who's been on my Patreon or on my Instagram sees that I don't think there's any realistic things that I draw. But the power, a lot of times people might say, oh, look, there's this character. He's super muscular. No, but if you look through my characters, the powerful ones are always the girls.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it seems to make sense from the perspective of a female artist.
I mean, come on, we gotta promote that girl power here. It's getting better, especially in the major universes, Marvel and DC and all that, but gotta keep those girls coming up strong here.
Absolutely. How did you come to choose the name Rose Fox for your art? Is there any special significance behind it?
I'd love to say that it took me hours and hours of planning, but quite honestly, it's not that creative. So my real name, I'm named after a type of rose. Mm-hmm. And my spirit animal is a red fox. So there we go. I just blended those two together. Simple as that.
Okay. You're also involved in various fitness and wellness pursuits. Is it difficult to find the time to work on creative projects?
You know, I think a lot of times my creative projects are what save my fitness career. You know, I mean, I thought I wanted to go to school for art growing up, and then I realized, you know, as passionate as I am about it, if that became my career, if that's what I had to do every single day, and I had to, I didn't have a choice, if I wanted to make, you know, paychecks and all that, would I still love it as much as I do?
Right.
So even though I am so busy with the fitness, and I was a healthcare practitioner for a period of time, and, you know, all this stuff going on, if I didn't have art as that outlet, I don't think I would be as refreshed and energetic going through my day as I am, because, you know, I had that creative outlet. I had that stress relief. I'll stay up an extra couple of hours to doodle if I've had a bad day, as opposed to going to sleep. And even though, you know, maybe I'm skimping on some rest, I feel better. So yeah, you know, finding time for both of them, maybe I don't get to draw as much as I would like to, I definitely make it a priority, because it's so integral into just who I am and my lifestyle at this point, that even if I had all the time in the world, if I weren't drawing, I probably wouldn't be the same in the other areas of my life as I am.
Yeah, I can certainly understand that. Art really seems like it's one of the best forms of not only expression, but release in general. You know, as an artist, your style seems like it's pretty heavily influenced by things like manga and anime. Do you have favorites from those genres?
I do, actually. It's somewhat of a joke growing up among my friends, or even now, that my secret identity is Sailor Moon. I loved Sailor Moon growing up. I think it's just so ephemeral, and it's stunningly gorgeous. So I always loved that style. And then the other one that I think is a little bit more well-known, that I just love and I watch every chance I get, is Avatar: The Last Airbender.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And, oh my gosh, I'd love to say that, you know, Zuko's my favorite or Aang's my favorite, but let's be honest, it's Iroh. Iroh's definitely my favorite from that one.
I watched Sailor Moon as a kid. That's one of the few anime shows I ever really got into, and it's kind of funny, I didn't retain much of it, but I just loved like the way, like the story of it, the transformation aspect, things like that.
Absolutely, it's so relatable. And the funny thing is it's kind of like other shows, like I know it happened with Pokemon the same way. When those got to America, they're so watered down and for kids that, right. You know, my nanny's getting me these books saying, oh, it's so cute, it's Sailor Moon. But if you actually read the books, like, people get vaporized and things that doesn't happen in the TV shows. It's a little bit more mature than, like, a five-year-old TV show. So it's, I promise, it's a lot more grown up than the original TV shows were. But the art, regardless, and the storyline is just, oh my gosh, it's so bittersweet. I love it. It's beautiful.
Yeah, that seems to be kind of a trend with entertainment, I guess, quote-unquote children's entertainment in Japan in general. I know that the original show that the Power Rangers was taken from was a lot like that too, with like characters dying and things like that in Japan that you never would have seen here.
Mm-hmm. Pokemon, I think, if, because I started the graphic novels. I collect series of graphic novels because I like looking at them. I'm completely self-taught for art. I never had any formal training. And I like looking at the different styles. But anyway, I remember I started reading, I don't know if it was Red, maybe, and the Pokemon die in some of the battles, and I was like, oh my god, this did not happen in the boss battle of Giovanni. What is happening? It's insane how watered down everything is in America.
Right. It's almost like that there's a desire to sort of protect kids from real life, and then, you know, being one of those kids who grew up in America and then feeling unprepared when you get to adulthood or young adulthood, it's like, wait a minute, man, what happened?
But you should have read Sailor Moon. If you had read Sailor Moon, you would have been prepared. That's all I'm going to say.
Sure. Just off the top of your head, I have no clue. Did the comic come before the cartoon or vice versa?
It did.
Oh, okay.
Yep,
wow.
It did. And I want to say it was something really cute, like the creator, Naoko, the creator of Sailor Moon, I believe she's married to the creator of, I want to say it's Naruto.
Oh, really?
I think. I'm pretty sure.
Well, that's quite the power couple, huh?
Right? I don't remember if it was Naruto, but it was one of those. And I was like, oh my god, that's saying that. Yeah, it was the cutest thing ever.
Well, so you obviously have an appreciation for certain established characters. Do you create your own characters, or do you stick to established ones too?
I do 100% create my own. I couldn't tell you how I do it or when I do it or why. It's just all of a sudden I'll be you know, running, or of course trying to fall asleep at 2 a.m. when you have massive brain explosions of ideas. Sure. And all of a sudden I'm like, no, I have to create this character. And it's generally, it's a feeling. It's like, all right, like the current couple that I'm working on, Fenrir and Shakti. Shakti is like this sassy, but she's a little bit like, her sassiness comes from a little bit of insecurity. It's just, you know, it's stuff that's relatable that I see, or that a lot of times I feel in myself, and then I like blow up to, like, I magnify to huge proportions and come up with these characters. But I really do like creating my own characters. None of the characters I make, I get asked this a lot, none of them are like one of my friends or someone I know in disguise. That's not a thing.
Right.
I might be a certain aspect. I might be like, oh, my friend so-and-so, I really like, you know, when he's being cocky or whatever, like the way he stands in that one pose and the way he smiles, like I'll copy that into a character, but I'm not going to be like, all right, this character is this person.
Right.
I'm always afraid that people are going to be like, oh my gosh, that's how you see me. And it's, they're going to get offended, or so I don't draw people exactly from people I know.
Fair enough. That's probably for the best. I can understand that. But since you do create your own characters, if you could be any one of the characters that you've created, who would it be and why?
Oh my goodness. That is difficult. That is very difficult. I'm not sure that there's any one specifically that I would want to be. Like right now I'm making Shakti and I'm just like in love with her. She's awesome. So I mean, off the top of my head, I'd have to say I want to be Shakti. She's, you know, she's awesome. She's a goddess. She's just amazing. But at the same time, you know, a while ago I was working on this comic series called Lady Steel, which is a down on her luck superhero who kind of bumbles through life. And she was just so sweet and innocent and just endearing and charming. And I would have said, hey, I want to be her. I think there's elements of all of my characters that I would like to have.
Sure.
But I'm not sure. I'm so, they're like my children. I created all of them. That's like asking a parent to say, which one's your favorite child? Oh.
So I'm guessing that your kind of rule about not using real life friends as inspiration extends to yourself. None of them are based on you either.
That is correct. There is, every now and then I'll do little comics of, there's a girl with purple hair and fox ears and a fox tail. Well, okay, she's just kind of narrating stuff, and that is supposed to be me kind of plugged in.
Oh, right, okay.
So she's kind of like, but she doesn't ever feature in any of my comic books. She's just kind of there narrating or talking, like breaking straight through that fourth wall, talking to the audience.
Right.
But no, I don't have a character at this point in time that is like 100%, yeah, I can say, hey, this is me. I plopped her straight into the middle of whatever this universe is.
Right. That's cool. I mean, why limit yourself to just one choice anyway?
Exactly.
I think I would prefer to take the best pieces of my entire arsenal as well.
Way more fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Have you ever experienced creative burnout? Like, if you have, what do you do to get past that and stay consistent?
You know, there's two types of creative burnout for artists, at least from what I've come across with myself and my friends that are in, you know, they're concept artists in the video game industry and things. There's one where a lot of us, when we create our own art, we can physically see the finalized picture in our head and say, oh, okay, this is, you know, we can visualize it and this is what it looks like, and then we draw it. And sometimes you have so many ideas that you literally stare at your sketchbook, or I use an iPad and Apple Pencil, and I'll stare at my iPad and go, I don't know what to do. And sometimes it's hard because there are so many different ideas running through your head that you're like, I don't know which one to go after. And then there's the points in time where it seems like, you know, all you want to do is draw or create, and you sit down and you finally have all these hours like we do now. And it's like unlimited time to draw, and you sit down, and you're like, I got nothing.
Yeah.
And it's typically after you've been really stressed, or it's typically after periods of stress or just burnout in other areas of your life where there's just the creative muse is gone. And one of the things I do most often to try to get over that is I'm actually coming back to that fitness area that I'm in. I'm a yoga instructor. I'm a very, very dedicated practitioner, not just for fitness, but as a spirituality, as a lifestyle religion, I guess you can call it.
Right.
And when I kind of take that time for myself, and that's self-care for me, when I take time for myself to practice, to meditate, to kind of ground myself back down and calm my mind a little bit, it seems to be easier to either find that creative flow again or organize that creative flow in a way that I can actually get something productive out of it. But I think for everyone, it's a little bit different. It's about recentering yourself, if anything.
Sure.
That's the main way to get over burnout.
Right. Well, I can absolutely appreciate that. But that brings us to the end of the questions I had prepared for you today. Is there anything in terms of final thoughts or info that you feel like people listening to this should be left with?
There actually is one thing that I wish more people knew or heard or understood. And, you know, so many times I have people coming up to me, and especially at, you know, we've got so many great places in Central New York that do little mom and pop shop comic cons and things like that.
Right.
And I have all these little kids coming up and just, wow, I wish I could do this. Even adults, man, I wish I could do it. Anyone can. Anyone can. Anyone can draw. It's a skill. It's a skill like anything else. At one point in time, you know, we couldn't walk. We couldn't write our names. We couldn't being as coordinated as some people, not myself, are in video games. You know, it's all listen, I limit myself to Animal Crossing and that's about it. But, you know, that takes a lot of coordination for some of those other games. And drawing is no different.
Sure.
There was a point in time that I sucked. And even now, if you go on my Instagram, if you go on my Patreon, if you go on any of those, you're only seeing, you know, the finished product of one of 10,000 attempts. You're not seeing all the stuff that gets scratched, that gets thrown away. There are, like, for every great, well, what I consider great, for every published piece that I put out there, there's like 10 where I was just goofing off and I was like, oh my God, this is hideous. I hope no one ever sees it. Like, it's a process, and it takes practice for me too.
Right.
So if anyone is like, wow, this is amazing, I wish I could draw like this, I wish I could do this, you can. Just a little bit every day, even 15 minutes a day, you'd be amazed at how quickly your skills will develop.
That is really great advice. I couldn't agree more. Everything's really a work in progress, and I think it's good for people to keep in mind for things like this that seem, you know, like you said, they see the end result and it seems intimidating, or maybe, you know, initially it's frustrating, but it's definitely worth sticking with.
It is. I mean, it's an extremely, we all have those days. Listen, we all have those days. And I talk with my art buddies all the time and I'm like, hey, I suck today. And they'll say, oh my gosh, that was me yesterday. I couldn't draw anything to save my life. Like, we all go through those days, but I mean, it shouldn't always be about the end result. You know, the end result is nice, but I don't love to draw because of the final product. Like, when I look at a drawing that I've done, I see the time I spent doing it. I remember how I felt, how happy I was to just sit down and create. It's way more about the process than the end result. And if you're focused on the end result, you're not going to get anywhere because you're rushing through those different steps. Where if you're just focused on the process and you're loving what you're doing, oh my God, that will be reflected like tenfold in the end result, I promise.
Definitely. Well, where can people find you on your art online?
I am online. I do have a Facebook page, Art by Rose Fox. I don't always have that as updated as some of my other accounts. Instagram I'm on a lot, which is just simply at Art by Rose Fox. And I do have a Patreon page, which if you go to my Instagram profile, you can click the link. My Patreon is Art by Rose Fox. But I do have an 18-plus tag on there because I do have some work that probably shouldn't be seen by five-year-olds. So you can only find it if you click the direct link in my profile. Patreon won't let you search it because I do have adult content on there.
Okay. Awesome. Well, thank you very much for your time today and for speaking with me.
Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. Anytime. Okay, that is a wrap for this episode of the Nerd Bomber Podcast. I want to thank Rose Fox once again for coming on the show. And you can check out her body of work on social media at Art by Rose Fox. I've been your friend Claude, and I'll see you next time.
The Nerd Bomber Podcast is a Ghost Factory Internet production brought to you by the WHAM Network.